It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Radio. Hi, everybody. Hi, Nick.
Hi. Hi, good to see you.
It's a day.
It is a day.
It's another day.
It's just another day. I think we're getting very close to just mentioning...
That's a song by Too Short.
Yeah, we were just mentioning
great
song names there.
Man. That's a throwback to like 1996.
There's another song name where it's just another day. And it's like
About Betty?
What's that now?
The song about Betty. Oh, sorry. Too Short.
Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But no.
Anyway.
So we got that going for us.
What else?
Well, we got Guardians doubleheader.
Yeah, Let's see if they can get runs without hits.
What I believe the morning show called the most important series of the season, which I'm pretty sure is what I think they said against the Yankees series. But I could be wrong. I could be... what is the thing that Lima does all the time? Paraphrasing? No, that's not the right one. Mischaracterizing, taken out of context, all of those things. So we got a lot. We got a very special announcement coming up at 5 o'clock today, but it is Monday, and I start with the basics. How's your weekend?
It was actually fantastic, man. It was great. So, like, I, on Saturday morning, went down to Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Mm.
Because I had my first game of the season. It's week zero. So there wasn't a ton of college football on over the weekend. By the way, did you see the Seminoles go down? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? Yeah.
The short kings out there.
So that was pretty cool to see. But anyway, so I'm in Chattanooga, and I had a high school game at this. It's called the Baylor School in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I played a team from Georgia, Raven Gap. Anyway, that's not that important. But so the game was great. Worked with my new partner yesterday afternoon.
I think you guys are too good looking.
Well, no, he's good looking. I just look old now next to him.
No, I think one of you needs to get some sort of facial deformity because it's a little irritating. I saw your Instagram story. It was five, straight stories
was
or whatever.
Were we thirst trapping?
I mean, I could just hear the women of Instagram just like locking in on that broadcast. Like it's a little unfair. Like, there's a reason that they put this ugly mass next to you to balance it out. Like, that's the people of 92.
I'm not that good looking.
Okay. Ouch. I was absolutely picking up what you were putting down.
Took that straight, huh?
But, by the way, Chattanooga, actually kind of underrated little town.
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite like Savannah, but it's another town very similar where they... I mean, it's in the foothills of the mountains there, and... There's a river. The Tennessee River runs right through Chattanooga. It's really beautiful. So I got to tell you about this school quickly. It's called the Baylor School. It is a boarding school that entertains students from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Right? At their school, there's 51 countries represented at this high school. So the kids live there. Like if you're from, Germany, like you're coming here and you're living at this school, dude, they have a campus. So we drive in. And it was like pulling into this, it's hard to even say. I mean, it's miles in buildings and like there's a quad and it's like beautiful. It's like all brick. It's like $65,000 a year to send your kid there.
Is that it?
That's okay. What I said. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought a penny over $64,999 a year.
Now, like every kid that goes there ends up like in an Ivy League school or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you get it, but it's very expensive. And they have some of the best football players in the world, too.
Oh, that
helps. 17 countries represented on their football team.
Okay. Wow. Can you name them?
No. Okay. Mostly Canada.
Okay.
But, dude, I got to tell you, this running back, two running backs in this game, look like NFL running backs. They're in high school.
There's something about running backs.
This kid's going to Ole Miss. I mean, he's going to start like next year.
Almost any other position, you couldn't go right from high school to the pros.
No.
I think running back is finally there. If they are one of the elite running backs, like Adrian Peterson, we always had that debate when he went to Oklahoma. He absolutely could have gone right into the NFL. I kind of feel that way about like the 1% of running backs now coming out of high school.
Oh, yeah. It's stupid. So like when I was in high school, I played in a couple All-Star games, one of which was the Big 33 game, which no longer exists. Kind of sad about that. It was around forever. It was Ohio versus Pennsylvania. And I had the chance to play against some great players from Pennsylvania. Also played with some great players from Ohio. Point is, the running back for PA was Kevin Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a thing.
He actually would have been a tremendous NFL running back if not for injuries.
Yeah, the knees,
yep.
You know, terrible. But yeah, so he was in that game, and I had to tackle him, which I didn't do very well at.
I don't think many people did.
No. And then I played against him again. I played with him in the East-West All-Star game in high school, which was actually the U.S. Army All-American game.
Mm-hmm.
He took his shirt off one day after practice, and I was like, this guy's 35 years old.
Yeah.
And like put together. And that's what these kids look like for this school, the Baylor school.
Wouldn't it be wild if there just was the Danny El Monte of it? Just a 25-year-old guy. I mean, people have been caught being like 30 years old and pretending to be a high schooler. There was a basketball player from like the Sudan who did that a couple years ago. Like, I'm just going to say, it's good work if you can get it. Also,
it is
highly illegal. A little bit of news to pass along, by the way. The Cowboys have agreed on a 4-year, $136 million extension with wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. That puts his average number at $34 million. That's just shy of Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson. So have that to. So congrats to CeeDee Lamb. And now we can have more cell phones for any prospective girlfriends to not be able to look at. Anybody remember? It's one of the greatest draft moments ever, where he's sitting there getting ready to be drafted, and his girlfriend goes to take a look at his phone, and he just ganks it right back. By the way, CD, not subtle. Not subtle at all. If you're that concerned, the phone should not be on that side of the lap anyways. It should be in a lockbox somewhere. If you're that highly contagious with CeeDee Lamb level national security, just don't do it. But now he's a millionaire again. 34 times. 136 times over. Shouldn't that be the appropriate reaction to every time somebody gets paid?
Yes.
Like, I do understand how when quarterbacks get paid what seems like an ungodly amount of money, I do understand why you then go, well, what the hell was that? Why is that guy worth that? Mostly when I see guys get paid, especially on the in the trenches, where, I mean, there's just no avoiding contact. I just, congrats. That is the
appropriate. On all your success.
And congrats on that. So let's see. Well, a lot of Browns news.
Right? Yeah.
So Nick Chubb on the PUP to start the season. That means he won't be available for the first 4 weeks of the season. Now, Jack Conklin is going to be off the PUP. Kevin Stefanski said today that he is going to play left tackle if Jed Wills can't go. Jed Wills, they think, will be off the PUP as well, which means he won't miss those first 4 weeks. But, oh yeah, roster cutdowns tomorrow. The one cutdown that I saw was Caleb Johnson, the linebacker. That already kind of trickled out. So have a lot to go on to. And, oh, by the way, they wrapped up the preseason in a game this weekend that I don't know if any – have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Started at 10 p.m. at night. And I'm still not really okay with that either. So where do you want to start with that, Dusty?
Jack Conklin is going to play left tackle, and that's something that could be great. It could be really scary.
Am I wrong to be supremely confident that a pro like Jack Conklin is just going to be able to slide right in there and might actually end up being better than Jed?
Listen, I'm not of the mindset that moving him to left tackle is like something he can't do, because I think he can, and it's a great point by you. him moving there. He's a great pro. He's been around for a long time. He's played it before. Like, it's been a minute, but he has done it. My biggest concern about it, Nick, is that the right side of the line takes on a weakness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that weakness is bigger than, you know, what you had at left tackle, like yeah, he's obviously an upgrade over the guys that you would put out there at left tackle. I just don't know the percentage of loss you're going to have on the right side, which is like you don't want to steal from something great, and that right side was great when he's healthy, to make something like better than average, and then you suck on the right side.
So I don't want to make this seem like I think DeJuan is better at right tackle than Jack
is.
No,
dude, what you're about to say is all the things that I'm hoping happen.
Yeah, but I do think that DeJuan, long-term, I actually think he can be one of the best right tackles in the game. And so I actually think you might end up with the strongest iteration of your line here. And I really believe that Jack is going to get, they're not going to say this, for a lot of reasons. Namely, you pay Jed Wills a lot to end up maybe being a swing tackle for you. But it would not surprise me if however long Jack is there, even if it's just in practice leading up to week one, I think it will be. I think it will be Jack week one. No inside knowledge, just a gut feeling, and I have a big gut. But I think this is an audition. And I think because here's the thing, I can live with Jack Conklin being an average left tackle. I could live with Jed being an average left tackle. If when we watched him, it seemed like he was fixing mistakes or honestly just playing through the whistle. And I hate to say that about anybody because I don't know Jed. I don't know who he is in his heart. But you can only see like 10 times a game. There are times where he plays really well for 2 seconds. But man, it's that next quarter second that bites him in the ass. Mm-hmm. And I just know that's not going to happen with Jack. I just know that however good he can play, he will play. And he'll play to his absolute heart's content as hard as he can. And 4 years in, man, going on 5 years in, I can't say that I believe that with Jed. And so there's a big part of me that, like, my confidence shot up sky high because the whole thing I wanted was either DeJuan at right and Jack at left or strike that and reverse it. Like, one of those two things, that was, to me, the best scenario you could possibly get. Maybe I'm placing my faith in the wrong, you know, spot here, but no, like, I'm a little bit more excited to see what Jack can do in a real game situation, even though that real game situation involves DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons.
NBD.
No big deal. Yeah. 216.
Clarify that for everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
I don't need someone to go on Google and say, yeah, you know, what's NBD?
Some Browns roster news to pass along here.
Okay.
These just being announced by the Browns here recently in the last couple minutes. DeAnthony Bell has passed his physical, as had Jack Conklin, Greg Newsham II, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Jed Wills. So they're in the right direction. Now, they've also waived 16 players. Tyler Coyle. Should I say all these guys? Are people going to know if I say all 16 names?
You can be making this up.
Because I kind of feel like, all right, let's do this here. This is, you know, great job out of you. Isaiah Thomas, the edge rusher, has been waived amongst 16 players here, as has Chim Okorafor. Why did I go to that one? the backup kicker, Lucas Haversick, Wyatt Davis, guard, formerly of Ohio State, among the 16 players waived by the Cleveland Browns. So, at least as of right now, no names that you would look at and worry that maybe they're making a mistake or at least pain points to this point. I'm assuming once we get more wide receivers on this list that is going to change because I think there's probably 7 or 8 guys for maybe 5 or 6 spots. So that is the latest from the Browns there. And, you know, we got into a pre-show conversation, one, about your Dave Matthews, and two, about the offense with all the news that came down today. One, that Nick Chubb's on the PUP, so we're not going to see him until at least week 5. But two, the tackles are coming back, but we could have at least 1 week of Jack Conklin at left tackle and what that means for the offense. But I think if we kind of take it to where this goes, I think when in doubt in the Kevin Stefanski era, they've erred on the side of run. Think back to that Cincinnati game last year where they were trying to do all the bells and whistles. And because of the weather, they just couldn't get a damn thing going. And it was really between Kevin Stefanski and Zach Taylor. Whoever blinked first and actually ran the damn ball in that weather was going to be the coach that came away with the win. That's what Kevin did. Kevin blinked first. He just turned it over to Nick Chubb and the rest of the group. They won the game. I don't want to say handedly, but they won the game comfortably as you possibly can. I don't know if the Browns are going to be able to do that. Do you like? Do you think the Browns will be able to lean on the running game again this year?
That I don't know, Nick. Because I don't know how healthy Nick Chubb is going to be when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the offensive line's going to look like when he comes back. So no, I don't know. I would definitively you can't say one way or the other. The only thing I think we know for sure is something that this team can have an identity around is the defense.
Well, it's interesting you say that. Because the recipe for winning early if your quarterback isn't ready, or it's not even about the quarterback, if your passing game isn't ready, lean on the run game, just play super conservative, and lean on that defense. And I'll be honest with you, if Nick Chubb was healthy and the O-line wasn't and maybe wasn't in the best shape, I'd say just lean on Nick Chubb. If Nick, in this case, Nick's still injured, but the O-line was 100% ready, I'd say, well, just lean on the running backs because in the NFL, at least for short bursts, you can mimic some of that production. You don't have either.
Right.
And here's the thing. It's not just the tackle spot, which absolutely is the biggest concern. It is we're going from Bill Callahan to Andy Dickerson. And I can hear, well, you know, people really like Andy Dickerson. I can hear all the good little things that people say about him, it's not going to mean a damn thing to me until I see this offensive line succeed with him as their offensive line coach.
Right.
And by the way, they're going to be changing up little parts of the blocking scheme because Andy Dickerson might have a little different flavor than Bill Callahan. Mm-hmm. So I think like it's not even just a twofold, well, it's no healthy Nick Chubb and an unhealthy offensive line. It's also now you've got this other component to it that there's another thing. If Bill Callahan was here, Bill Callahan's going to have the five best offensive linemen out there, and the faith that we had is whoever's out there is going to work out.
Thoughts? Oh, 7 a.m.
Smartest thing I ever heard?
I didn't know I was hanging there.
Nah, no worries. But no, I mean, so to me, it's a threefold problem. And
I'm making Kayla die over here.
So you're making me die in a different way. But I think, okay, I'm not trying to turn an uncertainty into a positive. I also kind of wonder, even if it costs you a game or two, whether or not being able to rely on the run game just forces you to lean more into the pass game early. And whether that actually, because everybody seems to be concerned I saw one beat reporter, Deshaun will not have played in 300 and some days, 301, 304, something like that, since his injury. By the way, Aaron Rodgers will not have played for roughly 365 days. When he goes out there, nobody's having the same kind of conversations we're having about Deshaun, but I digress. I kind of wonder if the lack of a running game and the lack of an opt-out is actually going to help you knock the rust off the passing game quicker.
Well, I mean, you have to dive into it.
Yeah.
You know, the offense has to change, and because, like you said, they don't have something to rely upon that they know for sure is going to work. I think it forces Kevin and Ken Dorsey to really adapt and not sort of be conservative.
So I think,
and maybe that helps Deshaun. Like, just let it loose, let it rip.
Well, and I think it's almost like removing a barrier that isn't there. But if in Deshaun's mind, it's almost like a whoopee. Like, hey, the running game is going to save you if you know Nick Chubb's going to save you if you're having a bad day. I don't think we're going to do that. So now again, that could easily go the other way if Deshaun is struggling with confidence. no matter what he wants to say, if it's apparent he's struggling with confidence, well, this could exacerbate the problem. But, you know, half of the reason why anybody said, oh, you got to play Nick, you got to play Deshaun in the preseason is you got to knock off rust. Well, another way to knock off rust is just keep going out there. You knocked in the dirt, well, you get knocked in the dirt. And I think the only thing that kind of, the only thing that I wish I felt more comfortable with them having at their disposal with Jerome Ford, and we'll see about Deontay Foreman, and we'll see about the backup running backs, only is if I could feel like I'd feel better about Deshaun running. Because that's the thing. Like, Deshaun on the move does not scare me. Deshaun running, and
you're saying like design quarterback runs or yeah, just, okay.
But you can't do it. If they do it in the first 4 weeks of the season, I'm going to scream at them. One, he's coming off a shoulder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Injury. Two, he's just shown zero ability to slide in any sort of self-preservation way. He just hasn't. And when asked about it, he seems to think, well, that's just how I play football. Which, okay, but it's dumb. Okay, it's going to shorten your career.
Listen, every quarterback at some point has to like realize that you're more valuable to the team when you slide.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to accept it. I know some guys are not willing to do that. Like, I'm tough. No, I'll take a hit. No. No.
It's macho crap. And listen, you get paid $203 million a year. You're the face of a franchise. Is that not machismo enough for you? Like, you are literally the leader of an organization on the field. That should be enough for you. And listen, if I'm not trying to hammer Deshaun, because I think it's easy now. I think it's low-hanging fruit to come out and bat Deshaun around, because it's the one thing almost nobody in this town is willing to do is view his situation with any sort of nuance. It's, nope, hadn't been good enough. The trade's the biggest thing. You know, sky's falling, all that kind of stuff, which is fine, by the way. But, like, at the same point, I'm not trying to bat Deshaun around, but I saw maybe between Cam, Michael Vick, and Lamar. Those are the three greatest running quarterbacks I've ever seen. I don't even like saying it mobile because they all had great arms. But three of the best on the ground with their leg quarterback ever. And I saw one of those guys end his career prematurely. And that's Cam. And I saw him take on blockers on end-arounds that he had no business doing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that's on the coach, too. I mean, they ran his ass inside the red zone like crazy. And by the way, it worked.
It did. Well, and
it worked until he broke.
Well, and here's the thing. Where it's on Cam is, Cam said the same thing I hear Deshaun say. Well, that's just my style of play. I mean, that's a $250 million decision for Cam at that point in his career. If Cam is healthy and doesn't destroy his shoulder the second time, Cam Newton gets paid one of these $50 million a year contracts. And I know it's not the end-all be-all, but that's not just about the money. It's generational wealth is something every one of these guys should be playing for. It's also about his legacy. Another 5 years where he was, those 3 or 4 years in the middle before the shoulder injury gave out, he's a Hall of Famer. And instead, it's a question mark. And so I look at Deshaun, and it's like, you know, I believe I'm going to go down a specific road. I do think everything happens for a reason to some degree. And a lot of it is just for us to learn our lessons. We all have lessons we got to learn so we can get off this ride and go to the next one and hopefully evolve if you believe in a soul from that standpoint. Well, when it comes to football, I think football does a tremendous job of teaching your lessons. Sometimes it's the worst ones to learn. The worst ones to learn are, maybe I should have not been so prideful, or maybe I shouldn't have been so macho, and maybe I should have learned to slide better. Or it's not even learned to. It's not hard. Like, fat dudes slide. Like, everybody in football learns to slide. If you run enough, you're going to learn to slide without sacrificing yourself in a way. So I do think, like, but to get back to it, like, if Deshaun wasn't coming off the shoulder injury, I'd say, well, Deshaun can be a big part of that running game. Well, now you don't even have that. Like, at least in terms of designed runs. So now maybe it's just going to be, and again, it's probably, if this is true, if you can't count on the run game early in the season, which is the safest way to win in September and early October, is just ground and pound and they have a great defense. If you can't do that, that's okay. Might cost you a couple games, but in the long run, man, it might just be the thing that just allows you to pull back the restrictor plate off the passing offense and just keep doing it until you're good at it. You said it. You threw the break there. You got some thoughts on the preseason.
Yeah.
Please go.
I mean, it's kind of funny. On Friday, you were off, and I did a show with JP. We talked a lot about how the game was, you know, Saturday night. It was 10 o'clock. It's on the road. It's in Seattle. And it's the last preseason game. And the conversation was like, hey, listen, if Deshaun doesn't play, is he even worth watching?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, honestly, I'm probably not going to watch it anyway. I'm out of the state, and I didn't think I'd be able to watch it, like, because like they black it out locally when you're on the road. However, this game actually aired on NFL Network, so I'm like in my hotel room on Saturday night, and I turn it on just a little after the game started because we were at dinner. And I just was like blown away at how bad our depth was. You know, like it looked, I know they came back in the game with, you know, the threes late and they scored that touchdown with 8 seconds to go. Made it look a hell of a lot closer than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, I think the Browns, I like our starters, you know, and when they all go. But boy, backups, I think the special teams, there are a lot of starters on special teams, by the way, that played in that game. God, we can't tackle anybody on the kickoffs.
I think the tackling thing was obvious. I was kind of in and out in the game. I was still very annoyed at the 10 p.m. kickoff. Like,
yeah, I get it.
As annoyed as I could possibly be. But you know what's funny? I don't know I'm that concerned about the depth. Mostly because I think a lot of these dudes did get playing time last year. And so I kind of think they already have the experience that I care about. So for one game, I'm not too crazy about it. But yeah, I mean, it looked ugly. Like, there's no way. And I thank God Jim Schwartz just came out and just was like, yeah, no, that's crap. We played like crap tonight. And I'm not happy about it. I know that. I think that seems to be Jim's motif, not being happy about it. I think that's just how he's wired. It's not good unless it's great. But, like, I kind of like to hear that because I was more just annoyed at having to watch, and then I was annoyed at what I was watching. But I don't necessarily carry it over the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know that I do either, but it did tell me a little bit kind of about the back end. Again, a lot of those guys won't even be on the roster, unfortunately, because I was one of those guys at one point. But, you know, I just think it was a little discouraging seeing that.
So,
and I know it probably doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, like once the season begins. But I didn't like what I saw. And I can't imagine, maybe people didn't watch.
I don't know how much we should put into the preseason in general. It does paint a picture that it wasn't the most productive camp in the world. Whether that's fair or not.
Mm-hmm.
But between hearing what happened at joint practices, where certainly against Minnesota the offense looked terrible, whether it is, you know, visiting reporters coming out and saying, yeah, the Browns kind of looked rough today. The defense got some good grades throughout there. And there's a part of me that believes, well, if the defense is just that good and the offense is already behind, this might be a mirage of sorts, that maybe the offense is actually probably right where it needs to be compared to other offenses in the NFL. You're not going to know that until week one against Dallas. But there is a part of me that, like, I don't know how I should feel if almost everything that was said, especially about the offense, but just about the team in general, and then you go out there and 0-3 in the preseason. I'm not trying to make it mountain out, but I'm just saying, like, the collective picture is not, hey, we're where we need to be going into the regular season. And we're not exactly used to that because Kevin has been very good, especially in the month of September, where I think he's like a 660 winning, 666 winning percentage in his 4 years as a head coach in September.
Yeah, I'm just. What do you think's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? Nothing, right? We don't know what's going to happen. No, I mean, the game's going to be 2 weeks away, is my point.
I thought you meant the next 2 weeks. Are we talking about the next several weeks after that?
No. Leading up until game one, I don't have a feeling about how this team's going to be. Like, I want to believe they're a 10-11 win team.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone today when I was driving in, and they asked me what I thought about the Browns' season this year, and I said, I really don't know. I'm a little nervous, though. Like, I think there's a chance that, listen, everything could be great. Hunky-dory, Deshaun plays fantastic, Nick Chubb comes back, he rushes for 1,200 yards in 12 games or whatever, and we're just, like, in the playoffs and in cruising. I also think there's a chance the team could win six games.
I don't think they're going to win six games.
I'm not saying they are either, but there's a chance.
Oh, I would be shocked if they were below 500 at all. I think their floor is 9 wins.
Okay,
but I think it's not going to. I think how it's going to look is a lot closer to how they won against San Francisco, where we were wondering what the hell offense is this because P.J. Walker was booty cheeks, and yeah, I think what has been lost in the revisionist history of last season is how on edge every Browns fan was on any given Sunday, and how it wasn't until the final five games of the regular season or six games of the regular season that our kind of confidence grew in leaps and bounds. And a lot of that emanated from the offense was really inconsistent. And in fairness, late in the season, the defense was highly inconsistent, which is what bit you in the butt against Houston in the playoffs. But, like, I think Daryl said train wreck. I'm not expecting a train wreck. But do I think you're going to have to grit out some wins early? Yeah. Yeah. I don't expect the offense to look great week one. You've got Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. You've got so much talent. Listen, Dallas is not replete with a lot of talent. They do have a couple guys that can make your life a living hell, even though Bland is going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So that's it. That makes you feel a little bit better because the interception king of the NFL isn't going to be out there. But they have just enough talent to jam you up and embarrass you if you're not ready. And I think big picture, what you're pointing at is how much find me a positive in the last 4 weeks.
Nick, I think playing the Cowboys week one is a blessing and a curse because it could go one of two ways. And I certainly hope it doesn't go the other way because the Browns are going to play a really good team, a team that could potentially be a Super Bowl team, honestly. I mean, they have that much talent, and Dak Prescott is that good. I know, and you can say all the things you want about their history and whatever, but they do have enough talent to do it. They're one of those teams that I would consider, especially the NFC's not quite as good as the AFC, obviously. My point being in saying that is that if the Browns play well against the Cowboys, I do think it sets them sailing. You know, I think that they're going to have a lot of confidence going forward. Again, they could lose the game and play well enough to win and still lose by a field goal. Those are tough ones. You can accept those. But if the Cowboys come in and blow our doors off, there's going to be a lot of soul searching on that Monday afternoon.
So I don't know what the line is because I have not looked at it. It's one. I expect the Browns to win. I think this game's a bit of... I don't want to say it's a trap. I don't think Dallas is that good. I think they've got a couple good players, and I'll be honest, I think if you take Dak off this team, I think they are mid as mid can be. They might be a top...
I mean, that's sort of the case with every top 10 quarterback, no.
You and Collinsworth there.
Oh, my voice? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
That's kind of the case.
Oh, you meant to go Collinsworth on it?
No, you went Collinsworth. Yeah,
no, it wasn't a good Collinsworth. I think I just changed my voice a little bit, which is kind of weird. But
Keith, did you hear Collinsworth? I heard Collinsworth.
Yeah, I heard a little professional analyst word going in there with that comment.
I mean, any team that loses the top 10 quarterback, it's going to be tough out there, man.
Your Collinsworth and your Gruden have blended together in recent years.
You're a critic.
No, I'm trying to help you. That's what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help.
It's not going
to
get better now.
That's fair. That is fair. But I don't know, man. I look at that Dallas game. I'm not just expecting them to win. Like, I still have an expectation that they're going to win. And I have an expectation. I'm not saying a comfortable win, but whether your offense looks like the best or worst offense in the NFL, I think you should win. Whether the defense looks like it itself has any rust, I think you should win. I think Dallas is a fraudulent-ass team. I think they had the worst offseason in the NFL. I think that team is a strong wind from falling over and not getting up. I felt really good. That was like a really strong
take.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, you were very confident about that.
Which means I'll panic if they lose to Dallas, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you are so confident that if the Cowboys win by a couple of scores, yeah, it's doom and gloom, right, for you?
I mean, are you going to do a full Gardo's rant
on the radio and say, why is everyone not believing in this team?
Will I just melt down? But if they win, I'm just going over the top.
Oh, yeah, and just have your parade.
Not really. Just win the damn game. Nathan Zagara Brown
was right.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.